So, guys, did you know that cops are good now?
Yeah. Did you know that we're also all cops now?
Yep, I got the memo.
That is why everyone's elected Judge Harris to come in and be like, insurrection, 2 years minimum.
She's just dressed like Judge Dredd.
We actually watched the remake of Judge Dredd recently, and it's so good. Like, it was fun. But then I saw all of, like, Jake's, like, authoritarian impulses emerge. And, like, he was like, yeah, this is the law. This is what people want. They want, like, a simple sort of black and white reality where it's very reminiscent of 9/11,
mm-hmm.
where there
mm-hmm.
are good guys and there are bad guys. And it's not about the collective good or us protecting our collective rights. It's about what side you're on, what team you're on.
Yeah.
That is what I find the most disturbing about everything that's transpiring around us.
Absolutely. And I thought the election was going to kind of be the peak of this. I thought everybody was going to kind of like go absolutely batshit insane around the election, lose focus, etc. But this is just, I've never seen anything like this in terms of people going back on what they claim to believe for like the last 3 years.
Well, no one's seen anything like this. I think I heard somewhere that the last time that the Capitol was invaded was something like 1890 or 1880 or something like this. So no one alive has seen this happen before. Like, we're all fresh on this one.
Even then, there's been so many unprecedented things that have happened, and like even the pandemic, like we haven't had a major pandemic like this. There's so much that's going on that's unprecedented, but even then, the way that we respond to it is what's important. Our civil liberties are what are important. Our society not becoming a panopticon is what's important. And it seems as if people lose sight of that in favor of team sports. Like, the way we actually respond to it, are we going to put through the Patriot Act 2.0? Is that what we're doing? And are we supposed to cheer that on? Like, It's so pernicious, and I'm mm-hmm. disgusted. I'm so disgusted by the response I've seen. People celebrating extrajudicial killings, people literally saying that they're working with the FBI.
Well, like, really publicly working with the FBI, like, hey, everybody, look at this. Look at this person. Like, we need to find their name so we can give it to the FBI, and they can be properly held accountable, because that's what accountability is. It's when the capitalist state uses its authority on people. That's accountability.
Never has the We Are Our Own COINTELPRO been more appropriate than right now.
Exactly.
The thing is, they think that they have the moral justification because it's quote-unquote the fash. But if this is codified into law and this becomes normalized, how do they think that this isn't going to affect, like, the average person?
Well, that is a fantastic question. One we will answer here today on Low Society. Welcome to it, everybody. I'm Peter Coffin. We got Angie Speaks here and Jake the Snake. We have a large amount to talk about today. Let's get the housekeeping out of the way. If you are listening to us on Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star review. Say something nice and cool about us on there. If you're listening on Spotify, make sure to follow us, which is also what you should do on Twitter, at Low Society Pod. If you're not a patron yet, we have a Discord that all patrons go into. We put out a bonus episode every week. For the $5 tier, we have also created a brand new Parasocial Pals tier at $25, which will be incorporating listeners into the show. Finally, go to lowsociety.net. That's where you can buy your Low Society branded apocalypse shelters and vitamins and nutrients. Lowsociety.net is our hub. We're trying to start piping everything through there. That's it, though. Without further ado, we have a lot to talk about today.
Yeah, I'm still dumbfounded by everything that I've seen happen in terms of everything that's been going on. Like, it's legitimately been terrifying to watch just the lack of principles that people have. And I understood that there was sort of a deficit there, but I didn't understand how deep the deficit went, that people are actually willing to obfuscate the common good in favor of team sports. And like I said, it's not always about what side you're on. Sometimes it's about what's right. And I can't believe that there is no integrity in that regard. Like, mm-hmm. that terrifies me.
I think that it's pretty important to sort of start off by saying that a lot of people have characterized this group of people that descended on the Capitol as Nazis or fascists. And while you could make, I think, a convincing argument that they probably wouldn't resist fascism, or they're sympathetic towards it, or just don't care. Like, there are definitely some people that were at this thing that were, like, explicitly in support of fascism. They were wearing, like, various signifiers of fascism, like, et cetera, et cetera. But, like, it's important to say that fascism is a method of exerting power. Like, you have to be in power.
It's ironic for the people who are, you know, celebrating extrajudicial killings, want to turn society into a panopticon and a war against all, a war of all against all, to be screaming that these people are an existential threat, when what they have is purely ideological at this point. They don't have their hands on the levers of power. These people do. When it comes to the intelligence agencies, the military industrial complex, Silicon Valley, and the seat of power now, these people are the ones in charge. So why am I supposed to believe that somebody on 4chan is more of an existential threat to people who are legitimately manufacturing consent for our civil liberties being, you know, siphoned?
Yes. And on top of that, it's not really just those people either. Like, there are some of those 4chan types on there, but there's also, like, small town Republicans that went down to the Trump rally. My mom was telling me about how they were advertising this bus that was leaving out of Lansing, Michigan, to take people down to the D.C. Trump rally, which was earlier in the day. And several people from the town I grew up in went. Like, these are just working class boomers who have no idea what the fuck they're talking about. They don't understand fascism, or they're just like, oh, I'm a Republican, and Trump says the good things. I am a simple man, but he says the things about the economy that seem to make sense to me.
According to these people deserve to be killed extrajudicially.
Yeah, exactly. These are in the eyes of, you know, all the people who are trying to act like the big time amazing leftists who know everything. These are fascists. These are unapologetic Nazis who have the ability, and this is something that somebody said to me earlier, these people have the ability and are upholding capitalism and fascism. Like, you can't tell me we can't act against these people. Like, no, these people aren't upholding shit. That is not how power works. Capitalism upholds itself. The owning class owns, they have everything, the state facilitates. And to be really frank, like, the way capitalism has developed has a lot of fascist characteristics, and these systems perpetuate themselves. Like, if you have a problem with the system, but you're saying, like, a group of individuals upholds it, like, unless you're talking about the owning class, unless you're talking about the ruling class, you are wrong. Those people do not uphold it. This is not a functioning democracy. Public consensus does not create policy. That's not how this works.
Not to sound like the jet fuel melts through steel beams guy already, but there was plenty of videos of the police just opening the gates and letting those people in. So
stuff is meant to manufacture fucking consent.
I know, but by that standard, all of those police should be killed at the same time as lionizing the police and saying that they're amazing and, like, you know, all the rest of it. Like,
they're completely hysterical and they're completely incoherent and they have absolutely no principles. All this scaremongering that they do about fascism, which has literally no institutional power, they're at the helm of most of the institutions. They're the ones who use Silicon Valley to control speech. They're the ones who are able to, all of our liberal institutions are dominated by the influences of the DNC, the NGO industrial complex, like the CIA, the intelligence agencies. They are the ones at the helm of the institutional power. So all this scaremongering that they do about fascism is a way of manufacturing consent to further marginalize our rights and to create a society of control, a panopticon, a war against all, a war of all against all. I cannot align myself with that ethos. I want to be as far away from it as possible. And I mean, not even just on the institutional level, you had like huge bread tubers who were fucking talking about, you know, allying themselves with like the FBI. Like, it's disgusting.
Hey, guy, I knows how to use Google. I can find that buddy for you, guy. just give me your information and I'll help you. No problem at all. Like, it's pretty crazy how quickly people are so fast to... I mean, who FBI reaching out to these top YouTubers? I doubt that any of them would have any kind of connection to any of them. How is that link actually being formed there?
Well, it's super interesting because it's not just influencers. It's like this message went out from the Washington State Democratic Party chair. It started off, I think, pretty extra. It says, "This is a dark day for our republic, but there's a new dawn ahead for our nation," which is, in my opinion, like when you come out of the gate with that, that's fucking nuts.
It's like the beginning of a Killzone game, or like the beginning of some sort of like post-apocalyptic like CGI sequence as the titles roll. It's actually pretty...
It's like Columbia from like Bioshock Infinite.
Yeah.
I'll skip a little bit. It's saying, "With Democrats now in control of the Senate after last night's victories in Georgia, President-elect Joe Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris to take office in 2 weeks, this unacceptable act of domestic terrorism will not be forgotten, and those responsible will surely be held accountable. Right now, I'm most worried about you, especially our bi-POC, recent immigrants, undocumented or gender non-binary Democrats, who in the past have been targeted by extremists. Please."
Signals.
I'm like, it's almost like my like my soul wants to like jump out of my body. Like I'm just, I can't. Like I just can't.
They forgot disabled, so they don't get
they did.
Points. I'm just saying. If this was a catchphrase or whatever, you know, they didn't get the top.
Before I keep going, like it does get worse, but before I keep going, I kind of want to say that this specifically is using marginalized identities to justify authoritarian policy. Like, it's people who walked into the Capitol, did the Fortnite dance, and fucking took selfies in Nancy Pelosi's office, calling that terrorism when, like, 9/11 has happened.
Look at what they manufactured consent for after 9/11.
Yeah, exactly. They're doing the exact... They're trying to make an event that they can manufacture consent with for more, like... anti-terror laws, and we've definitely got more to talk about with that. Joe Biden said something specific, but like use of the word terror after 9/11, it's made so vague that they can define almost anything as terror. It's not terrorism. It's like it's vandalism. They came in and vandalized the Capitol.
I think if I'd have let the brainworms eat away everything to the point that I had ended up in Kamala Harris's office or Nancy Pelosi's office, and I probably would just floss. I don't know if there would be anything left for me to do or like any brain power left to sort of manufacture doing anything, you know, productive.
I don't even want to fucking get into that because that's exactly what happened. You had major figures who were spending all their time dunking on these people and making fun of them. And that's not even what's important. What's important is the aftermath, how it's dealt with, and what that means about what gets codified into law. That's what I'm interested in fucking discussing. Not about who has brainworms and who doesn't, and what team are you on, what sports team you're on. I don't care about any of that.
I'm not trying to say it about a sports team. I'm just trying to say, like, at the point where you're already in the office in the Capitol building, what do you do that's actually going to serve your aim?
Well, I mean, if you'd read State and Revolution, maybe you'd have some idea. But this next part, like regarding the ramifications, this is where I think it really starts to get kind of scary. After the "please reach out to each other, make sure, blah, blah, blah. Please report any threatening notes, calls, or social media, any, quote, non-normal activity near your homes or other disturbances to your local police and to us being the Democratic State Party. We can help with this reporting if necessary. If you need guidance, reach our blah, blah, blah contact information. We'll help you navigate the reporting process, but we are no substitute for contacting your local law enforcement." Now, keep in mind, this is the Democratic Party who weaponized Black Lives Matter as campaign apparatus with the whole abolish the police, defund the police thing. Do we notice some incongruity here?
Hmm.
Well, it's all just for votes. It's just like Judge Harris. However, Judge Harris, has said it in the past. Like, that was just a debate, man. Like, those are just things. These are just things and points and signals to flare up to make sure that you can get the votes and you can get the people on your side so that once you do get into power, you can serve all your friends and keep, authority strong and keep the system rocking as it was supposed to. No fundamental change. That's the whole what you're voting for with Joe Biden. So the police aren't going anywhere. If not, you're going to see a repeat of the last 20 years again. This was like, you know, this whole pandemic plus this Capitol attack and everything, or however you want to call it, is going to be like the new 9/11.
It's going to be a lot more technocratic as well, which is the thing. And it's more pernicious now because it's not just us, you know, the NSA spying on us. They're trying to create a panopticon where it's a war of all against all, where we are all the cops. That's the thing that the new neoliberal mode is attempting to do to justify itself. It's horizontalizing its power, so it's a lot less easy to pinpoint as this agency or this person or this law enforcement agency or this. It's now everybody against everybody. Power is now horizontalized. Everybody is surveilling everybody. You know, the last time that people were sort of encouraged in this fashion to rat on their neighbors during the Red Scare. And this is what I'm concerned about. I'm not concerned about team sports. I'm not going to allow the team sports brainworm to make me neglect my principles. And when I'm talking about the collective good, I mean the collective good. That even includes my political enemies. The collective good is what should be at the forefront. And them allowing the Democratic Party to manufacture consent to turn our society into a panopticon is not something that I can get behind or support. And the fervor that and the way that they're justifying it, it makes me absolutely just despair. It makes me despairing. It makes me feel a massive sense of like loss and despair. Because like you said, you know, after 9/11 happened, the way the word terrorist was used, mm-hmm. the way that, you know, all of these different factors, you know, sort of amalgamated together, it created, you know, the world we've seen for the last 20 years. And I really worry about where the next 20 years are going. And of course, I was watching CNN yesterday and they had these two like fucking blue check mark liberal fucking idiots on there. And they were doing this sort of feigned tearful like bullshit where they were like, oh, this is the worst thing I've seen since Charlottesville. And of course they blame social media and demand that there needs to be more censorship on social media. Mm-hmm. You also see major bread tube figures talking about how we should be. And when I say bread tube, don't forget that these bread tubers have had streams with sitting Congress people. Fucking AOC mm-hmm. has been on their streams. It's not as if they're not part of that milieu. And you have these major people, these journalists, these influencers saying that social media anonymity should be taken away. And that it should be more surveilled and that it should be more controlled. And they're trying to manufacture consent for our public realm to be controlled for what they deem as the greater good. But it's not really the greater good because they're the ones with the apparatus in their hands, not some silly right-wing person.
What I would love is for like, you know, some studies to be done about the effects of doing stuff like that. Like there were no studies of like people interacting on the internet as their sole, you know, communication before it became the thing. And now we're all in this like atomized, fucked up, like weird fucking society. So and there are some like things that outside of being used in this sneaky way that maybe not being anonymous on the internet could influence the way you behave on the internet. It could actually be a good thing, but it would be interesting to actually see.
It's like China's social rating system. If you have to give your social security or your passport number in order to have a Twitter account, once you're kicked out of the public domain, you're kicked out of the public domain for good. And that's the thing. The majority of people who are kicked out of the public domain, it's done arbitrarily. I've seen people who are close to me get their shit taken, get themselves yeeted off the platform for the most innocuous shit. But people who tell me to kill myself on a daily basis or threaten violence against me are completely fine. And it's because it's political. It's political. The people who they choose to kick out of the public domain isn't because of any moral thing or about online behavior. They don't give a shit. These people act in the worst ways. They act in the worst, and they feel morally justified to act in the worst ways against people who they disagree with. So no, the reason they want to take anonymity is so that they can have more control over the social domain.
But if you didn't have anonymity, then maybe people wouldn't be so willing to make death threats on the internet when that is, you know, something that could be traced back to them and then also a legal thing. It's like there's all sorts of things that could, you know, still...
Like people were literally celebrating the woman getting shot in the neck because, you know, it's to own the fash. They're literally willing to give away our civil liberties to own the fash.
Yeah, I've seen plenty of blue checkmark people who are praising the law enforcement for that.
And they get away with it because the system allows them to.
And their identity is with verification is completely identified. Twitter has your ID on file.
Exactly.
I had to give them my ID.
Like, it's political. The decisions about who's allowed to speak and who enters the public domain is political. And they're going to have a stranglehold on what they deem as fringe. And that affects us all. It's the blue check markification of social media, which is the major apparatus of our social commons at the moment. Not only is it being used to manufacture consent for more censorship and control in the internet domain, it's also used to manufacture consent for everybody to be a cop against everybody else, for us to be watching on people, ratting on people, sending people to law enforcement. All of these different things are going to become codified into law. And like you said, the Joe Biden thing.
Yeah. I spent basically the entire quote unquote insurrection/coup talking about how it was basically like, if you look at it, they let these people in. They could have easily mowed them down at any point. Most of them were completely unarmed. They said they found a couple of bombs, but they weren't on site, et cetera, et cetera.
Pretty shoddy job as well if they weren't on site.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. Like, if they were not on site, like, who cares, you know? Like, people are like, why aren't they talking about these bombs? It's like, well, yeah, it's because they weren't on site.
I mean, even the way the news was reporting it, they said, when I first looked at the story, they said violent MAGA rally, 3 dead. They didn't say who shot the people that were dead. They didn't say anything about the violence that was committed by the side that they were saying were violent. Like, it was
vague as shit.
It was so vague.
I had to spend time finding out who was dead and who shot. It took research, and it should not. That should be the easiest fucking thing to understand about it. That should be in the lead. But anyway, all of this is context for what Joe Biden has said. The Wall Street Journal published this statement from Biden where he said he's going to make it a priority to pass a law against domestic terrorism. Which, again, like I said, I spent the whole fucking day talking about how they were going to do Patriot Act 2.0. That was going to be the thing that came out of this. And lo and behold, Biden puts out a statement that says that. And he's urged to create a White House post against the ideologically inspired extremism. Which, by the way, that's not saying white supremacy. That's not saying racism. That's saying ideology, which that could mean a pretty wide range of shit, right? And the next part goes into how they want to increase funding to deal with these things. Like, do you remember how everybody who was voting Democrat wanted to defund the police?
And that's the thing. Even what we're saying now could be considered aiding and abetting terroristic blah, blah, blah. That's how fucking scary this shit is.
People have been saying to me, like, you're on the side of these fucking right-wing Nazi terrorists. It's like, yeah, no, even make the assumption that they're actually that. Just go ahead, let's say that. They are not in power. They're not a political party. They're clearly not organized because the thing they did when they went into the nation's capital, literally where the levers of power are pulled, they fucking live streamed and took selfies.
Storming the fucking Capitol is in itself an act of desperation. Nobody who has real institutional power is going to do that. It's so ironic that they would say that we are the harmful milieu when they're the ones who are celebrating extrajudicial power, extrajudicial punishment, turning society into a panopticon, and we're the fascists. Fuck you. We have nothing to be ashamed of. They have everything to be ashamed of. And I feel like they've really overplayed their hand. Because people are not fucking stupid. Like, they're losing legitimacy. I have nothing to worry about when it comes to my legitimacy. I haven't changed my line at all. And I'm not the one trying to fucking side with the fucking apparatus of a brutal technocratic neoliberal order.
And, you know, again, here, I think this is worth saying again. And keeping in mind that those people don't actually have any power. They went into the nation's capital and they didn't execute any kind of actual program. They just went in basically to make some kind of chaos or whatever. What you're referring to is all of these people on Twitter talking about us saying the capitalist state executing somebody is not acceptable. Which, by the way, the guy who killed that person was probably someone who just got spooked Like, it takes a large amount of coordination from the cops to be like, okay, well, we're basically not going to do anything about this. We're going to let these people in and basically not do anything about it. That's agreement among the cops. That's consensus. At some point, somebody got spooked and shot somebody. But here's why that's important. Like, that's a representative of the state, legitimized by the state, who killed some unarmed person with no institutional power. That is a serious problem. That is a vulgar display of power. That is the state showing you that it can kill you. It's not just the state killing somebody. It is a visual. It is a message. You can die for resisting the state in some way. Except for they did it in an instance where it was completely safe for the state. Like, none of these people were mounting some kind of effective resistance against it. It works out incredibly well for the state. It sends a message about resisting the state when the resistance to the state was extremely flaccid. And in response to that, people were saying, that means you're defending fascists because this person was a fascist. You were defending racists. This person was a racist. Well, if you feel so good that the state is executing your enemies.
When it comes back to, it's not about what team you're on. It's about what's fucking right sometimes. It's about what's right, because what's right applies to everyone, regardless of what you believe, regardless of what your political stances are. When you make things codified and normalized within the state, eventually they will reach you.
Yeah.
Eventually they will reach you. That the violence of the system becoming horizontalized like that is what my major issue is, not your stupid team sports. And I'm not interested in having a debate with you about your team sports. I'm scared that Joe Biden is planning on making all of this vague legislation. I'm afraid that it's becoming normalized for us to fucking rat on each other and become a fucking panopticon, and people who are self-proclaimed leftists feel comfortable enough working with the fucking FBI. Like, that's the stuff that I am worried about, the residual effect of this event. What it means in terms of what gets codified, how it's going to accelerate things like censorship, how it's going to accelerate this sort of blue check markification of the political realm. That's what I'm concerned about, not the fucking nitty gritty of any of the bullshit conversations that they try to pull you down into. And I'm also concerned about the lack of conviction and the lack of principle among people who claim to be left pundits. The fact that none of them are able to think beyond this sort of bipartisan team sports stuff to see the bigger fucking picture. That they're willing to obfuscate the collective good in favor of what they deem a momentary ideological victory over the fash. And the fash is purely ideological at this point. They do not have institutional power. The people who do have institutional power are the neoliberal order. They're the biggest existential threat.
Well, that's what I was getting at. Somebody was saying to me, like, that person deserved to die. And they said those exact words. And so I'm like, so you would have happily killed this person, which I'm not sure I entirely believe that. But let's just take that into mind. You would kill this person. Okay, great. Let's take just a minute and say this person is a racist and a fascist. You would kill somebody without power because of their ideology. But let's think for just a second about how the capitalist state is both racist and fascist in a manner which sets the national mode and ultimately dictates that racist and fascist things exist. Would you assassinate the head of state? Would you shoot Joe Biden when he comes in? Would you do that? No, they fucking wouldn't. They love the capitalist state. They can't fucking handle the idea that the capitalist state wouldn't be there to get rid of their ideological opponents for them. The same thing goes for capital. There's no looking up. It's looking around. It's team sports. It's I want to beat the other team. And if the state can help me, if I can occupy the state, if my side runs the state, if I can have an advantage in the team sport, I fucking want that. I absolutely want that. That's what I want as this kind of person.
But they're still advocating for police to act, or even just, they're called Capitol Police. They weren't even like proper police officers, if you
Capitol
know what I mean.
Capitol Hill Police.
Yeah. But they're still advocating for them to act like Judge Dredd and to go, you are somewhere illegal, bang, and that's fine. Like, and that's okay. But they're advocating for that to not happen elsewhere, or just with specific people that they want. It's kind of that their whole thing has absolutely no standing because it falls apart under any kind of scrutiny because they have absolutely no actual ideology. It's all just signaling around teams, like Angie's saying.
Yeah, it's all signaling around teams. It's all signaling around whatever ideological signifier is considered kosher by them. Mm-hmm. And anyone, and that's the thing, is they feel morally justified in doing and saying any awful thing to anyone who they feel gets in the way of whatever they deem to be their party line. Like in the last 48 hours, I've received literally maybe 15 death threats, people saying that they want to crack my skull, people telling me that I should kill myself, all kinds of just crazy, and they feel morally justified in doing this. And I remember I tweeted this thing where I was like, as a Black visible pundit, I have never received one death threat from a fascist. I have never received even one hostile interaction from somebody who claims to be on the far right. The majority of the racism and the hate and the psychological torture that I receive is from the left. And they literally were like, oh, you know, that they do their denying, they do their gaslighting. And it's like a Black person, a Black woman is literally saying, hey, the people who you've been telling me for years are the problem, are not the ones hurting me. You are. And that's, if they had any principles whatsoever, that's something that they would ruminate on. But of course not. It's purely political. It's purely about what serves their agenda. So when fucking defund the police, all cops are bad, serves their agenda, then that's the party line. And when mm-hmm. it doesn't, then they shift into their authoritarian mode, which is exactly what it is. It's a mm-hmm. it's resentment. And it's a desire, a will to power, and it's this sort of impotent desire for revenge, sort of cloaked under this very sort of pernicious moral facade. They have a moral cover for the resentment, for the punitive, petty desire for revenge. That's what their politics really are. It's all mm-hmm. of that concealed under layers and layers of like wokeness because they're defenders of minorities and blah, blah, blah. It's all bullshit. Look at how they're willing to use marginalized identity to justify authoritarianism. No, and yep. even the weird like lefty, like liberal adjacent, like radical, I'm not into it because their agenda has nothing to do with the principles of anti-capitalism, populist anti-capitalism, and the common good. Center of their ethos is resentment, a mm-hmm. petty desire for revenge, and a will to power. Slap yes, whatever exactly. label you want to slap yeah, on yeah. me. You can call me a fascist, you can call me whatever the fuck you want to call me. I don't give a fuck anymore. But this, what is masquerading as left, I am not a part of it. And I don't want to be a part of it. And I don't want to be associated with it. I want these people as far away from me as possible. Get the fuck away from me, you morally repugnant pieces of shit. Get the fuck away from me.
Like, definitionally, these people are not the left. But colloquially, they've formed a movement that people call the left. People are existing in this paradigm and calling themselves leftists. So we can talk about recuperation, which we have for years. Like we've talked about for literally years before we had this podcast, we talked about how we do have to look out for, say, social justice becoming a clout game, or say the leftists becoming a cultivated identity or whatever. Like, this stuff was stuff that we brought up.
We were so soft with our critique, and we tried to behave ourselves, and we tried to give people the benefit of the doubt and all of this stuff. But the mask off has happened now. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying, get the fuck away from me. I'm done playing nice. I'm done playing nice.
Conspiracy theorist has even become a cultivated identity now.
Like, absolutely.
I was actually receiving personalized ads for like these like streetwear looking hoodies that said paranoid in it with the fucking like eye, all seeing eye. And then on the back, it literally had like chemtrails, fucking 9/11, like all of this shit, like cross, like ticked off. And you're just like, who is buying this shit? I mean, I did look at it just to go, that's fucking ridiculous. Ridiculous. I didn't go to it, go be like, oh yeah, $30 well spent. Fucking bargain, mate. Look at me, I'm a conspiracy theorist.
Hell
better
yeah.
Make sure everybody knows.
That's how they view politics. And they view politics as sort of market capitulation. And if they can get the establishment to capitulate to their sort of cultivated consumer identity, then even better. And they don't necessarily see it as a vehicle for the common good, like I keep saying. It's about nursing their impotence. And that is something that I'm not interested in. And seeing this stuff, it's been disgusting. It's been a massive sort of wake up call for me. And it also, all the more reason why I'm so desperate to exit this milieu. me and Peter specifically are a threat to them because we used to exist within that milieu. And it's not as if we're coming at it from a place of ignorance. Like, we used to exist within it.
Yeah.
We understand all the incentives. We understand everything that goes on behind the back end. We understand, and we're also rejecting their political framing, even though at one time we were sort of accepting it. And that's a massive threat to them, because what do cult members do when cult members leave? What does Scientology do when people leave? And these people still can't seem to stop talking about us. Like, yeah. We've made it so explicit that we don't want to be part of their milieu, but they can't seem to stop talking about us and coming after. And it's crazy.
It's going to be what happens when they start to have to make you have a verified account on social media and all of that stuff. It's going to be, if you're not that, then you're an SP. You're a suppressive person, and everyone must stay away from you. Otherwise, you will get infected with the badness, and you will also become an SP if you listen to them too much.
That's exactly the sort of modality of this neoliberal mode, which is the reason why it's okay once you become an SP, once you're a deplorable, once you are, the whole working class is this to these people, not just the right-wing ones. The entire working class is part of that whole basket of deplorables. And once you become a deplorable, you deserve your fate. You deserve your economic suffering. You deserve to be shot by, literally, as long as it becomes deracialized and it's just happening to whoever, everybody at all times, it doesn't fucking matter to them. And once you've exited that milieu and you become one of the deplorables, anything that happens to you is politically justifiable.
Maybe they'll use this as the excuse to bring in the purge. That really spice 21 up, wouldn't it?
I mean, let's go ahead and say, like, when people start saying these people deserve to die, like, what are we really saying? If we are talking about society evolving toward the panopticon, where we're doing all of this reporting, why won't it eventually evolve to we're allowed to kill each other? Why aren't extrajudicial killings part of that milieu? Like, and this is an exaggerated argument, of course, but this is the logic of this type of thing taken to an extreme. And I think sometimes more people need to do that. They need to see things and go, oh, well, what do you really mean when you say that person deserves to die? What is behind that thought? What is bringing them to the point where they think that it's okay to be like, I am the fucking judge. I am Judge Dredd. And, you know, I don't know if you saw the video of that woman being killed. I accidentally saw it and it fucked me up for the day. I was seriously like, whenever I see like people killed by police, like whether it's this or it's George Floyd or whatever, I fucking hate seeing that shit. It fucks up my day. It haunts me at night. I dream about it. And again, here it is. It's not a black person killed by the police. It's an unarmed white lady standing on a table. They shoot her. And she's just instantly dead. Fucking drops. Done. I don't want to see it, but I end up seeing it.
The last one I saw was the Sandra Bland one. And that fucks me up. And I can't watch that kind of thing. I can't see it. But that's the thing, is the moral justification, the systemic justification for George Floyd's death is racism. And the moral justification for the lady, the extrajudicial killing of this lady, is now this sort of weird neoliberal codified ideology of the deplorable.
Yeah.
And I'm against both of those things vehemently. And I'm not going to say, well, this one's on my team and the other one isn't, so fuck you. That is morally deplorable. What happened to the ethos of the common good? What happened to it? Where did it go?
You've just got to put on some like really heroic music from like the end of Fable or something as Angie's giving her like rising speech.
I'm sorry, I can't help it. I'm sorry. I mean, what happens is the fact of the principle of the common good. It's possible to be simultaneously against one thing and another at the same time.
Well, like, I am against that person's ideology. I don't have to say that, but like, I don't agree with that person's ideology. It doesn't matter though. Like, capital has been concentrated to such an extent that private and state powers both have the authority to choose who lives and dies. Maybe this person's ideology doesn't matter that much when compared to something that extensive, huge, institutionally backed, and basically ingrained in the existence of the country it exists in.
They would hate Martin Luther King as well, these people.
Well, they killed him. The same fucking powers, like, did everything they could to get him to commit suicide, and when they couldn't, they fucking
killed him. But that's the thing about me, is maybe it's because I was raised as a Christian, and also my mom was, like, very into liberation theology. Like, that core tenet of the common good and all and like the judge lest you not be judged, and the ethos of grace and mercy and forgiveness, and the idea that vengeance belongs to God, is something that has always, even though I no longer exist within that paradigm, it's something that's always stuck in my brain, that sort of morally guiding principle that I am not judge, jury, and executioner. I am not trying to usurp the place of, you know, the sort of confluence of humanity and the serendipity that and the knowledge and the shared knowledge that we've created in order to deal with certain events. Like, I'm not going to usurp the place of that, because I too have sinned. I too have fallen short. Like, that's the kind of thing I was raised in. And it seems as if, like, all these, like, the core of this sort of mentality is this sort of nihilism.
Yeah,
it's a huge nihilism. It's not even, because it's not necessarily rooted in any sort of morality from religion, but at least you had liberal institutions and liberal proceduralism that sort of acted as or belief in higher ideals, belief in justice, belief in due process. It seems as if all of that is also that sort of secular state that what took the place of, like, the moderating aspects of, like, religion. It seems as if it's been completely usurped by this nihilism, because even the most milquetoast shit libs, like the Christopher Hitchens and, like, all of those people, they would not be celebrating this. Like, they would understand that this is not something that this is a usurping, and the things that are sort of being put in measure are sort of a usurping of our common liberties. Like, even libertarians, like, I just don't understand it. Like, my brain, I don't understand what is going on. Like, my brain is frying.
Look, I don't want people that, you know, disagree with me politically to be shot and killed, okay? That's a waste of human life. Like, they should be sent to the political re-education camps and do productive labor until they at least agree with what I think politically. And then we can, you know, maybe then they won't be storming the Capitol, you know, because they'll be, you know, a sensible person. Like, this is how we need to really instill, you know, the right things into the wrong people. Yeah.
Party discipline.
Otherwise, the judges have got to come and they go, boom, armor piercing. And you're fucking done, mate. Oh, that's just, you know, it's one or the other.
Well, you've made the point multiple times, Angie, that the power has centralized along the state lines, or along Silicon Valley, and along, like, the CIA, the FBI, the intelligence community. There's sort of a confluence of these people, as well as, like, the Congress people who are, like, Pete Buttigieg types who came out of that milieu and got elected to office. Those types, like, all sort of knew that this was going to happen. Like, they had been advertising to bus, like, people from, like, various states down to this Trump rally. Like, they knew that this stuff was going to happen. The intelligence community most likely knew this stuff was going to happen. These intelligence milieu Congress people knew it was going to happen. Silicon Valley most likely knew it was going to happen. They have access to all the chat logs, I promise you that. And they had the cops let them in. Now, to call that a coup, to call that an insurrection, is fucking stupid. And when we go ahead and we say, you know, why would they do that? The obvious reason why they would do that is because they fucking benefit from it. If they go in and make this spectacle of storming the Capitol, guess who gets all of this fucking confluence of Silicon Valley, the intelligence community, and these various Congress people in that milieu? That confluence will work together to uphold the Capitol in Silicon Valley by passing laws that aid them and contract them for the surveillance state. They'll pass laws that are anti-terrorism, which will ultimately be intelligence community oriented and will benefit them. And these Congress people take money from Silicon Valley, like all of them, every one of them, not even the ones that aren't that intelligence milieu Congress people. They all get money from Silicon Valley. So, like, How can we fucking say, like, why would they let them in? Of course they let them in. Their interests align entirely with the state and capital apparatus. That's why. That's why they let them in. They knew they were going to go in and not shoot the people in charge and own the state from that point forward. Because if they were going to do that, if they were like an organized communist force, they would have fucking ran them over with tanks.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was all political theater, wasn't it? And I think, I feel like they probably ushered that guy with the face paint and the horns to the front, and so like even if there even if there was some sort of like fascist like political mastermind amongst the however many hundred of people that was there, and he's just like, guys, I've actually got a serious plan now we're here, and the guy with the fucking horns and face paint is just flossing like, yeah, here we are, Capitol building, bro.
Yeah, a literal fucking Fortnite character. A literal fucking Fortnite. Like, that person is a walking, breathing Fortnite character.
He's going to be a war. If he's got to be a Fortnite skin. He's got to. That's got to be some form of DLC in some form of combat game, is this guy's, like, fucking headgear and the fucking makeup. Like, I'm playing a lot of Mordhau at the moment. If that becomes a Mordhau skin, I would fucking crease myself. Like.
From an archetypal perspective, too, there was some Cronunos, like a horned god, green man energy there, which is quite serendipitous. Mm-hmm. But away from the woo-woo stuff and into the ramifications of where we're headed, it's not looking good.
It ain't pretty.
No.
It's looking fucking bleak. It's looking really fucking bleak. And it's going to affect everybody, regardless of whatever political ideology you align yourself in. It's going to affect us all. And I'm actually genuinely scared. Like, I've never seen anything like this before. I've never witnessed anything like this before. I've never seen people who claim to be on the left behave this way before. But I'm not surprised. I mean, the Medicare for All thing was almost like the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
You know, that was the tip of the
iceberg. All these quote unquote supporters are now like, yeah, who cares about that? Like, there's going to be a public option with Biden, right? Which there won't be, by the way.
There won't be, no.
Biden aid.
And they keep showing you, like, when there was that Maya Angelou quote where it's like, when people show you who they are, believe them. And I believe them. They're showing us exactly who they are, and I believe them.
Like, if you remember back when the riots were happening, and we were kind of a little bit critical of the, like, unambiguous, like, abolish the police, defund the police stuff. We were kind of like, well, that would kind of create a power vacuum, which might allow them to sort of create private security forces and ultimately be worse than public police.
Or even be protesting in thousands in a pandemic as well. We were pretty critical of that.
In a capitalist society in which we haven't addressed any of the other things that are going on, just the police. Like, maybe there's other things to get at that have something to do with this that we could address. But those people characterized us as inconsistent for not, like, unambiguously saying, abolish the police, defund the police, like, just unambiguous, because I'm not pro-police. I think that anybody who thinks that I'm pro-police should probably maybe investigate things that I've said in the past. However, I'm also not going to just unambiguously jump into something without being critical about it. And that's why people seem to fucking hate everything I say. But now, like, those same people, the exact same people who were like, you're being inconsistent. How could you do this and call yourself a leftist? How are you? You're supporting the fash. The police are the fash. Now they're the fucking thin blue wave.
It's the thin soy wave. The thing is, as much as technocratic as they are, and as much as they're trying to do some, like, big dick shit, they are impotent by nature, and they are also short-sighted, and they never really take the larger picture into account. And they also underestimate the smartness and the spirit of humanity. So I'm going to do my Alex Jones rant.
I was just going to say, cue the fable music.
I'm human. I'm coming. I got a heart that's big and it's full of blood. And
I like to eat food.
I like to eat food.
I like to fuck.
I'm not interested.
I like making kids.
I'm not interested in your fucking technocratic neoliberal order. I did not consent to live in woke white people's dystopia. I didn't consent to that shit. Fuck you. No. And more people are going to say no to this shit. More people are rising up every single day and are going to say no to this shit. And I am not on their side. I am on the side of the people. I'm not on their fucking stupid technocratic neoliberal shill side. I'm on the side of the people. And I don't care what you want to put a label on it. I don't give a fuck about labels. I'm on the side of the fucking people who are kicking against the ushering in of the new normal, of the neoliberal dystopia, of the great reset, or whatever the fuck you want to call it. I'm on that side. I'm on the side of humanity, goddammit. Alex Jones rant over.
Jimmy Dore did say something that was pretty interesting when I was sort of looking at some of the coverage of this. It was, would these people have come and be raging and even have the will to come and do this if they had have just received their first $2,000 check or even their fifth $2,000 check?
Good question.
And you know, you kind of think probably not, right?
I kind of feel like if we were all getting paid mm-hmm. to actually quarantine and like it was just like chill and nobody was like worried about their rent and shit.
Fucking assholes said they were like, oh, why would they go to Congress and get themselves shot because they want to go sit and eat at Chili's? Like, this is the level of contempt that the thing is because they rely on polarization. They rely on obscuring our areas of common shared interest. They need there to be the right wing of capital and the left wing of capital competing because that they need that in order to sustain the current order and also to stay within their milieus and their class position. They need it. So they actively encourage polarization like that. They actively mm-hmm. make everything about team sports. So that we don't look at our areas of shared interest and so that we don't ask the right questions and so that we get that little libidinal rush of dunking on the other team.
Imagine being so far removed that everything that's happened in the last 2 days, you're just like, Twitter's kind of spicy at the moment. Like, that's how far removed you are from all the problems of why everyone's mad. You're just like, wow, Twitter's kind of like a lot right now, you know? Like, what's going on?
Look at all these, like, people. Like, it's really disgusting.
I want to address a thing that I keep seeing, which is the idea that it wasn't working class people doing this. The same thing happened when people were rioting at in Michigan over the masks when they occupied the Michigan Capitol. Like, they were like, they're not working class people. They're primarily small business owners. And it's like, well, no, that's not true. For one, yes, there are probably small business owners there, just like there are probably fascists there. But I know for a fact that they were busing in people for that Trump rally. And from that Trump rally, a lot of people just sort of moseyed on over to the Capitol to participate in this thing. Like, the idea that working class people could be participating in this, it must be these fucking suburban or even rich people. Like, I saw somebody posting a picture of somebody who took a private jet in to participate in this. They were like, look at these people. They aren't working class people. They aren't concerned about their rent. No, I'm sorry. That's bullshit. Like, yes, that person was probably there, but I don't know if you understand this. That's not a lot of people. Like, when they call it the 1%, they do it for a fucking reason. Because it's only 1% of the fucking population.
If you had so much money that you could LARP and fucking take your private jet into a fucking storm the Capitol building and not give a shit about any consequences, even if you get COVID, you got fucking that money out the wazoo, you got fucking medical, fucking whatever you need. Like, you just there like, I don't give a shit. I'm here for the fucking ticket. Let's do this. Let's see the show. Like, that is a pretty fucking ridiculous
move.
There's
also a lot of obfuscation going on the racial demographics, because they also said that everybody there was like a right supremacist. And there were some black people who were in that Storm the Capitol thing, and also Hispanic people too, who were also in the Storm the Capitol event too. So the idea that everybody, and also in the anti-lockdown protests, especially the ones that I've seen happen in London, there's always an element of diversity to them that gets completely ignored and maligned by the media. So the idea that everybody who's involved is a rich white supremacist small business owner is absolute fucking bollocks.
They all took their private jets in.
Yeah.
Why were they advertising this bus from Lansing, Michigan, that people from my mom's town, which I grew up in, drove into Lansing, Michigan and took down to Washington, D.C.? Why are they doing that if they could reliably assume that tons of rich people would descend on the Capitol?
It's so dumb, and it's really annoying. And I, like I said, like, this is my final And I've said it millions of times, and we've both said it millions of times, that this, for me, is the final nail in the coffin for my departure from this mode. I want nothing to do with it anymore. I'm not interested in it. And as far away as I can get from it, the better. I'm done with it. And I don't give a fuck about who that upsets and who that pisses off. Just know that I'm not on your fucking side anymore. And you can fuck off. We're not going to manufacture consent for this bullshit. Like, we're going to continue to be truthful and be principled and challenge it. And if that rubs you the wrong way, well, then that's your fucking problem, sweetheart.
It's going to rub people the wrong way because, frankly, like, what we're doing is bouncing up against the ruling ideology. And the ruling ideology had subsumed the whole definitional left. Like, they knew that this information was out there that was potentially subversive to their structures. And when suddenly people were starting to make money disseminating this information, it made sense to sort of incentivize those people away from doing the truly subversive stuff and towards this, like, MSNBC audition culture, I guess we could call it.
Yeah, it's basically like a fucking jobs market for elite aspirants. That's basically what the whole left media, you know, malaise is. It's a fucking jobs market for, like, elite aspirants. And that's the reason why they participate in the obfuscation that they participate in, because they're incentivized to. They're incentivized not to be like, hey, wait a minute, maybe we shouldn't fucking give away our civil liberties to own the fash. They're incentivized to just do the team sports thing and say the dumb fucking whatever party line, and also punch down punitively at anyone else in the mode who is challenging that hegemony.
Well, that's the thing. When you're playing a team sport, there are certain rules, and you have to play by those rules in order to be a player on the field. And the thing is that we need to not be the players on the field. We need to be the fucking football hooligans rioting outside.
Exactly. Well, we're in the age of Aquarius, entering the... entering the neoliberal dystopia. Kamala Harris is coming to throw us all in jail. You, your kids, your entire family. Make sure you fucking rat on your neighbors. Make sure you're keeping lists and putting people on notice, champ. Make sure you're surveilling everyone around you for their takes, for their behavior, for their affect. Who are they friends with? Maybe they're friends with fascists. Maybe you're a fascist. Maybe the people who are listening are fascists. Who knows?
I'm just going to check the emails quickly for an email. We do have a parasocial member, by the way. So we got to give them a shout out as well. Yeah. We got a parasocial member, WikiFeet admin.
Yeah.
They have actually been our patron for 7 months and they've upped their pledge.
Nice.
To parasocial power.
Thank you, WikiFeet admin.
We have just reached out to you to try and get your details so we can call you on the pod. And we can also sort of make sure that you've, got everything else you need for that tier and stuff. But yeah, fucking questions. Let's have a look. What have we got? Let's have a look from the bottom. Okay, this is quite a good one. So we've got, and, you know, I'm a typical Brit, mate. So I'm not going to pronounce your last names because I just don't want to offend anyone.
I mean, even for the sake of privacy, it's probably good not to.
Yeah, maybe for that as well. But also... But Alan, I've got your question here, okay? Do you share my fear of creating a woke Marxist marketing demographic where people are cancelled based on not being materialist enough aesthetic, but maintaining the same structures of violence, shame, and domination? I personally change my value system into radical compassion where I do not shame people into being woke enough or pro-worker enough.
No, I'm not interested in creating pro-worker woke fucking idiots. I'm interested in shared interests.
Yeah.
And I think people are motivated more by shared interest in our milieu than they are in terms of social capital. And the thing that sort of creates that punitive culture of, like, shaming and is sort of a vying for a social capital, vying to seem perpetually correct so that you can ascend to the top of a milieu. And we're not trying to, you know, create something that's like, you know, this ascension apotheosis pyramid. Mm-hmm. Like, we're trying to sort of create something where people have what they need and have access to the knowledge that they need.
And it's more than possible, I think, for that kind of a demographic to emerge. And I think that we've seen it on Twitter in certain
areas.
But
it's not something that I'm interested in or want to be a part of.
Real talk and real solutions. That's what I'm interested in. We got a lot of problems these days. And it's not about, you know, shaming people into believing whatever. Just like, you know, just ask questions. Like, why is my fucking rent so goddamn high? Yeah. That's a real fucking problem.
The rent is too, like, that guy had it right. That motherfucker had it right with his fucking beautiful beard. He came out and he was like, the rent is too damn high.
So envious,
and that motherfucker had it right.
He was like a mimetic kind of like almost archetypal like emergence. And it was so on point because there's so much about the statement the rent is too damn high that applies so aptly to all these different sort of neoliberal metrics where mm-hmm. we have this sort of Uber economy where we're sort of perpetually renting and we're never owning, where we're renting ourselves, where we're renting our property. Like it's crazy.
Even all the other stuff, even like why all our shit is made in fucking Asia somewhere, like fucking Vietnam or China, some shit, like that's not right. Like we're abusing fucking other people's labor for pennies on the day. Like it's not cool. We need to figure out new ways of fucking having, if you want all this fucking cool shit, we got to figure out ways of fucking making it, giving people jobs and not fucking abusing people, if even if it's not in this country, because I feel like that's all, like wherever you're fucking based at, if you're still in the West, you're definitely in a position of dominance, and so like even all the other shit is going to be fucking over someone else. I don't want that either. Like no one wants any of that, you know.
Well, yeah, you can just or you could just report us to the FBI.
Yeah, or report us to the Democratic Party, which will then in turn hand us to the FBI, which will then in turn
turn
us to Judge fucking Harris, who then in turn will put us a fucking bullet to the head, and we'll call it good night there. Thank you very much.
Report my tweets. I'm doing violence with my words.
With AOC standards of violence.
Yeah, I've infringed upon the AOC standards of violence.
The golden standard, we call it now.
I've breached the social contract. I am now a mimetic terrorist spreading dangerous Russian misinformation across the interwebs. Kill me, daddy. Come after me. I'm ready for you.
I just want him to, he's good. Like, Trump's going to be like, okay, I can't tweet anymore. I can't fucking go on Facebook. I can't do any of this stuff. I've been completely shut out. Where's the only place that's a safe haven that I can still go? You know what? Joe fucking Rogan. Let's do it. Let's get a fucking emergency episode going. Like,
oh my God. Oh my God, Joe Rogan. I know that you listen to all other podcasts that exist, Joe Rogan. So listen to us right now as we say, have Donald Trump on.
Yes.
Oh, you're the podcast master, Joe Rogan, so you listen to all of them.
And then he would definitely deserve a mutual aid handjob.
He's the podcast god, so he's just omnipotent. He's like omnisciently aware of all podcasts.
He's the podcast god.
Well, it's been nice spending time with you guys, ranting and raving with you guys. I do apologize for the quality of my audio. I'm currently not in the UK. But I'll be back again next week with decent audio, I promise. Also, sorry about no bonus episode this week, specifically because I've had to travel for an emergency. But everything will be back to normal next week. Thank you to all our new Patreons. Thank you to our first parasocial tier patron. And if you want the chance to have a question or query answered, feel free to email our email address, which is
lowsocietypodcast@gmail.com.
Yes, that's the one. If you want to support us, we appreciate it, especially because we've been kicked out of the lib milieu. We need all the support that we can get.
We depend on you guys. Also, spread the word.
Yeah, spread the word.
Tell all your friends who listen to podcasts what a great fucking podcast this is and how they should listen to it. That's like, you know, your task as a comrade this week. If you don't, then we'll shame you and we'll fucking send you death threats. Do you fucking hear me? I'll come to your house.
I'm actually scared that I'll hear that noise one day and it'll be someone kicking down my door. Like, that's my worst fear. But thank you guys for listening, and we love you, and we shall see you later. Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.